I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, and gave himself for me. This is one of the most profound verses in all of the Bible. It tortured me in a good sense when I was a very new Christian. I remember going over and over and over this text, puzzled by what it could mean. In reality, there are two riddles.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. Thank you for joining with us here on the program today. May the Lord in His grace minister to your heart through His Word. And we're turning to Galatians 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live.
So I'm living, but it's not me.
Not I.
It's Christ living in me.
Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is a life-transforming text. And when this text gets a grip of your heart, you will be a new person. It will change you from the inside out, because that's what the cross does. There is power in looking unto a crucified Savior. It crucifies the flesh in you. And that's the great need. We need to have that old sinful nature crucified, put to death, so that we may live in the newness of power with God. And so today we're going to be looking at this text, and I trust that you will stay tuned right through the program today. We also have a pastoral visit when we look at the promise of the Lord. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so it is that wonderful rest of the gospel that we are aiming for and praying for. I hope you have that. That's something that every professing Christian ought to enjoy. And if you're living without that, you need to come back to the cross and fix your eyes and heart afresh upon the crucified Savior. There is power looking unto Jesus as he suffered for your sins. So stay tuned as we turn to God's Word today, Galatians 2:20.
Father in heaven, we thank thee for your grace to us, for this gospel, and what a packed term that is, God's good news to men. Oh Lord, we thank thee today that the God of heaven has infinite grace and love to sinners, that we who were lost and on the broad road to destruction, that thou hast set thy love upon us and called us to be your children, to guide us into that narrow way that leadeth to life. Thank you, Lord. Oh, teach us today what it meant for our Lord to suffer on that cross and all the blessings that come to us. Do help, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Through the week, the Lord burdened me with this text, Galatians 2:20. I looked up some of my notes to see when I preached this last. After 30 years of preaching, that becomes an issue. Maybe I preached this before. And I did preach it last summer in relation to the ministry of Jonathan Goforth. If you remember the series on Canadian preachers and missionaries, and that was a text that Jonathan Goforth leaned on. Galatians 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is one of the most profound verses in all of the Bible. It tortured me in a good sense when I was a very new Christian. I remember going over and over and over this text, puzzled by what it could mean. In reality, there are two riddles in this text. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. That's a puzzle. How can you be dead and yet live? Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So I'm living, but it's not me. It's Christ living in me. You can begin to see the profundity, the depth that there is within this very verse. Now, the background of the text, as I mentioned, was this awful division that was happening in the churches in Galatia. And you had this confrontation between the Apostle Paul and Peter. Peter had made a mistake. He had gone backward from the liberty of the gospel of Christ and separated himself from the Gentile believers because of the criticism of the Jewish believers. And they were saying that if you really are a Jew and converted, that you will still preach circumcision and its necessity. And Paul said, no, we are not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Christ alone. And there he stood. And when he came to this text, it was the medicine for the whole problem. It was the cure. And this text, Galatians 2:20, becomes now the glue that bound together God's people, converted Jews, Gentiles, and whoever else, if there could be anyone else, into this great wonder of the cross. And that's what unites us here today. We're all different. We have different backgrounds, different, all kinds of things are different about us. But there's one thing that unites us, and that is Christ died for me. And if you can say Christ died for me, and we understand what that means, then we can take the communion table and take the bread and the cup and rejoice. This is the profession of our genuine, heartfelt faith, where everything else doesn't really matter. Doesn't really matter what kind of a home you live in. Doesn't matter where what's in your bank account. Doesn't really matter who you are in the community. If you can say, Christ died for me, and I am crucified with Christ, then we are bound together with Gorilla Glue. You know that Gorilla Glue that's advertised, supposed to be the strongest of all? Well, this is Calvary Glue that unites hearts, minds, and souls together. Now, the wonderful thing I note about this text is that there are 8 pronouns in the verse. The letter I, or the pronoun I, first person singular, 5 times. And then me, 3 times. This is also personal. It's applicable. And that's because what happened at the cross, the transaction, the work that was done between God the Father and God the Son, and think 2 Corinthians 5:20, where God made Christ to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That miracle, that mystery of gospel power now comes into our hearts personally when we can say, I am crucified with Christ. Where is this power of the gospel? Paul spoke about, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Where is this power? Well, it's not my faith, because my faith is very weak. It's not my discipline, because In reality, there are no 2 days the same for any of us. Some days are just wonderful, and the next day it seems to be we're crazy. Let's do the dumbest things and get ourselves into trouble, make the wrong decisions. So we're not very consistent. It's not our goodness, it's not our strength, it's not our wisdom. This power, this miracle happens because of what took place at Calvary in those 3 hours. And what happened between God the Father and God the Son flows down as in a funnel to me by faith. We're justified by faith. And now it becomes I and me. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This becomes so wonderfully personal. Now, I have an outline here on this text. Christ's death uniting me. I am crucified with Christ. Then I have Christ's life living in me. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. And then Christ's gospel empowering me. And fourthly, Christ's love motivating me. Isn't that nice? Oh, come on. If you can't agree with the outline, we'll never get through the sermon. Isn't that just powerful? Christ's death uniting me, I am crucified with Christ. You'll notice here that Paul makes himself the model for the Christian. And if you can align yourself with this statement, you are in. Now, what Paul said here, I am crucified with Christ, was not true physically. Paul was never crucified at the cross, or any cross. When our Lord Jesus died at Calvary in AD 33, Saul of Tarsus was an unbelieving madman for religious purposes contrary to the gospel. And when he became a Christian, he did not suffer on a cross. He did not endure anything like what Jesus did that day at Calvary. And yet he could say, I am crucified with Christ. He did not mean that literally. The gospel is not for you and me to ape, to be monkeys aping and copying what Jesus suffered on the cross. This was Paul's own identification, and in a spiritual sense or a legal sense, his participation in the death of the Lord Jesus. You see, Paul accepted the doctrine of substitution, that Christ died in our place, that he offered a substitutionary offering vicariously for us. Jesus did on that cross what we could never do. And what he did on that cross was not for himself, because he had no sin, but he suffered on the cross for our sins. And by faith we are united to him, and therefore, as Christ died, we are dead. Dead to the law, dead to all its claims. So it was not true physically, but it was true legally. This is what theologians call a forensic term. Legally, Paul died. Paul had no part in the death of Christ due to Christ dying in his place. But you can say that Jesus took Paul's place on the cross. And our identification is based on Christ's death as our substitute. And so you as a Christian can say, when Christ died, I died. When he gave up his body on that cross, that was me being judged for sin. That sin is judged in Christ. How can we say that? How can you talk to your neighbor who doesn't know any of these things and say, when Jesus died, you died? How does it make any sense? Because of the truth that Jesus was a representative man. He was the federal head of all his people. In Canada, we understand federalism. You have an Ottawa, a government that represents every single Canadian. Justin Trudeau, our Prime Minister, whether you like his decisions or you don't, he's making decisions for you as a Canadian. He stands in your place. And when Christ died on that cross, he was the representative figure. And when God chose to punish his son, God saw in Christ his church, his people, and they died in him, federally, legally, in a government sense. And therefore, it's true to say, I am crucified with Christ. Now, this was the answer to the claims of the law. All of those who were saying, you need to keep the law to be saved. Paul said, no, I'm dead to the law. I died with Christ. The law has no more claims. You will never find a dead man taken into court to be tried. You're dead. The law dies and all its claims die. And that's the hope of the Christian. And Paul's clear answer was the cross work of Christ, that his death silenced the law. You have total freedom from all the accusations of the law. You are justified. And you remember what justified means? Just as if I had never sinned. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that liberating? It doesn't matter if you're a Jew in your heritage or a Gentile. Doesn't matter what your background is. It's done. Christ is dead. I am free. And so a Christian is united to the cross work of Christ. And this becomes the hub of our hope. It's our standard of life. And our assurance of acceptance with God. Christians are therefore one in Christ Jesus when you're united through the cross. And so we can take this communion cup, every one of us who are believers, and we are accepted in our Lord Jesus. And this statement, I am crucified with Christ, is the glue of the gospel. It unites us together. And this becomes the very basis, the core of our fellowship. It makes you a branch in the vine, and it makes everyone members in the body when Christ is the head. Isn't this great? Isn't this exciting to be a Christian? Isn't it wonderful to come to the communion table knowing that we can say, I am crucified with Christ. Therefore, I may participate. Now, secondly, Christ living in me. And you have this great English word, nevertheless. In the Greek language, it's just a conjunction like but or and. But, nevertheless. I must say I love the sound of the word nevertheless. You can almost look the devil in the face and say, nevertheless, nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And here is this gospel riddle. I'm still Paul the Apostle. I used to be Saul of Tarsus, but I'm a new man now. I used to have a mission to destroy the church and Christians. Now I have a mission to preach Christ and build the church. What a transformation in this man's life. And it wasn't a new Paul. He was the same physical man. His mom could go down and kiss him and say, son, she was still her boy. He was the same physical man. I live, yet not I. Christ liveth in me. He had a new mission. He was, in a sense, a new man in the same physical body. It's a riddle. And so are you, as a Christian. You're a riddle. That's why neighbors don't understand you. That's why when you talk about being a Christian and born again and made anew, they look at you and say, we don't see any real difference. It's just the old you. In fact, you're getting older and wrinklier, and we don't see any benefit physically. The world only sees the outward. But the spring of life, the inner core of your new being, is renewed. Christ lives in you. That's what makes you a Christian and drives you as a Christian and empowers you as a Christian. And so you renounce self-righteousness.
So we come back again for another pastoral visit. Thank you for joining with me and for this opportunity to share with you what the Lord has to say to those who are burdened and heavy laden. Let me read you these words of the Lord Jesus. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. What a wonderful thing that we have such a Savior, who speaks of himself as meek and lowly in heart. This is the only time in the Gospels that we read of Jesus referring to what was in his own heart. And of course, that's the real person. If we get to know someone's heart, we know how they think, we know how their attitude, we know if they really, really care. And of course, our Lord Jesus opened up his heart to reveal that he is meek and lowly. He is not out to crush nor to destroy, but rather he came into the world that he might give rest unto our souls. The Lord Jesus came not to destroy, but to give us eternal life, and that more abundantly. And so I just want to talk with you about resting and finding this rest in the Lord Jesus. Now, Jesus is the one to give us this rest because of his unconditional invitation. I want you to see the gracious invitation in verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Note that you are to come with your labor. Come with your cares. Bring them all to Jesus. Come with your fears, fears of life's future, and even the finality of life in death. Will it be heaven or will it be hell? And if that's your fear, bring that fear to the Lord Jesus. He will fix that. He will make it right with your soul. Indeed, he has promised to give eternal life. And the only true rest is to be free from condemnation, to be washed in the blood of Jesus, to have your sins forgiven, and to be sure that it is well with your soul. The Lord does not give false rest, but he gives full and final rest. Also come with your failures. Many times perhaps you have tried to turn over a new leaf, and what has it done for you? You are just in the greater stew than ever before. You're in a quagmire and sinking every effort you make. And that's the reality of man's condition before God. We need a Savior, a Deliverer. And so stop trying to save your own soul. Cry out to the Lord. Come to him, and he will give you this gospel rest. You also need to come with your heartaches. No doubt there are many bitter, bitter disappointments in this life. Illness, sickness, family, friends, children. Perhaps some of the greatest heartbreaks people experience is over their children. We care for them, fondle them with all our loving kindness for many, many years, and then later to be stabbed in the heart by their wayward and sometimes very unruly attitudes, and we're cut to the core, and we don't know what to do. And this is a great heartache. And heartaches are real, but we can also bring them to the Lord Jesus and ask the Lord to take that care and give you the grace that you need. Now, of course, you need to come with your sins. No one else will free you from that burden. Only Jesus can do that, because he alone died on the cross as the sin bearer. He is the one who was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He shed his blood to wash away your sins. So you must bring your sins to Jesus. You must confess them and cry to the Lord for cleansing. And may the Lord deal with you in great grace. And tomorrow we will look at the need to come to Jesus with your weariness, all ye that weary and are heavy laden. So thank you for staying tuned with us here today, and let's lift up our hearts to the Lord in prayer. And I invite you to seek the Lord, call upon him as your Savior today. Father, we thank thee today for the light of the gospel in your word, and that we have this record of our Lord Jesus inviting, indeed commanding, sinners to come and lay their weariness and their burdens upon him. And I pray today that by the Holy Spirit that you will enable men and women, boys and girls, to come to Jesus and cast their cares and their sins upon him. We thank thee, O Lord, that you are the great sin bearer, and I pray today that you will, by your power, minister to hearts. Thank you for this glorious good news that Jesus is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so we pray for your blessing, that you will speak on by your word and by your grace, in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.